welcome on this beautiful Sunday. And again, I am very, very excited to think that this time next Sunday, I will be in the conference hall. Actually, we'll be having lunch. We'll be having our luncheon banquet about this time next Sunday. And as we get started and before we get into our blessing call, I do want to say that our call time for the blessing next week will be changed. So this is to accommodate the blessing seminar and also to allow you to receive a blessing from all of our new blessing givers along with me and, of course, through Yeshua. Your call will begin at 5:30 Pacific Daylight Time. So make a note of that. During the week, I'll write you a letter. So you'll have this as a reminder for the weekend. That's just something to keep in mind. Naturally, we're not going to take a break in the middle of the seminar to do a blessing when we can do it as a grand culmination to the seminar. So I look forward to meeting all of you who are coming. And if making airline reservations is not a problem for you, we still have a few seats left. So if you've been thinking, shall I not? Well, maybe somebody who's been in the blessing call would like to share what it meant to them as we get on into our day's message. But for now, I think I would like to begin by opening the board in case anyone has a question or a comment about last week's call. We opened a very, very powerful subject last week, and that subject was about the crippling effects of fear and how fear actually prevents us from receiving the blessings of life. I got so many letters, so many comments, so many people responding to this on Facebook. I could tell the potency of that topic, and especially my own question to you: what would you do if you were not afraid? This is a very, very big question. And I want to make one initial comment that not one person said, if I were not afraid, I would rob a bank or do something else that was illegal or something else that you would be punished for doing. Not one person. And I don't think it's partly because we have so many good people on this call and in this community, but I don't think that's just it. You see, I think we've got a very huge misconception of what fear is doing in our life. It's really not stopping us from doing the bad things. Our conscience and the love that we are is what's preventing us or advising us, shall we say, against doing the bad things. For the most part, it's fear that's stopping us from doing the good things. And this is what was such a revelation to most people. And before I, since I don't have any people, remember it's 5-star to open up your line. It appears on my dashboard and then I unmute you. Okay. But you see, fear is nature's stop sign. Fear is what tells us there's a rattlesnake out there, don't walk any further. Or it's what tells us if we're walking on the south rim of the Grand Canyon and the wind picks up, it tells us, don't go any further. Fear is what tells us not to drive too fast around a hairpin turn. In other words, fear is nature's stop sign. And in its healthy, unmanipulated form, It's a good thing because it passes when the situation requiring us to stop and pause has passed. But unfortunately, fear has been manipulated by people who want to use it to stop us from doing things they don't want us to do, or to use it in general to inhibit our activities in life and our engagement with life. Basically, okay, it's like, let's just imagine it in the most benevolent way. Let's just say we're little children waiting to cross the street to go to school. And there's this nice elderly gentleman that walks us across the street, and he holds this stop sign up in his hand to stop the traffic while the children are moving. Well, everybody understands that as a totally benevolent thing. The children trust it. And then when he's got to the other side of the street, he drops the sign and the cars pick up and go. That's the way fear should function in the lives of all of us. But it's one, unfortunately, one of those most manipulated natural signals by forces that are seeking to control our behavior, because one of the pillars of control is gaining the steering wheel and the brake. Let's compare it to driving a car. How you control the car is with the accelerator, the brake, and the steering wheel. And fear is a very good instrument for manipulating the brake and the steering wheel. Not necessarily the accelerator, but it can be. It can be. Let's just say this stone is rolling down the mountain, and you see it, and you have this surge of adrenaline, and you push the accelerator to move further down the road before the stone hits the highway. So it can actually even control the accelerator. But fear is a major controlling instrument. So forces that are seeking control utilize fear. And when we buy into it, we are losing control of our life. When we don't respond to it sanely and intelligently, we're forfeiting opportunities to control our life beneficially. So it's a potent and powerful thing, and very, very much related to our ability to receive the blessings. I have a caller now from area code 442. You're on.
Hello, Glenda. This is Catherine from the UK.
Hello, Catherine.
I just wanted to say thank you for the information that you gave us about fear, and also for the information that you gave us last night on the call, because the two things were very connected for me, because I'd started to become afraid of doing the blessing wrong, and I started to see that that's what was going on. And I just wanted to say to you, I woke up this morning with this thought that said, ask Glenda if she would like to come to the UK to do a breathing conference.
Oh, yes, I would love to. I don't. That's obviously something that will have to be planned a long time in advance.
Yeah, it would have to be sometime next year, I think. But I just wanted to say to you that I would be happy to help organize that if you'd like to. If that felt right to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, let's keep in touch on that subject.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll step through my fear.
We have a lot of readers in the UK, and I think that readership will grow now that both of our major books are available as e-books, where they can be downloaded either through Amazon or any of the – we've got all the major platforms, and, of course, e-book readers are growing in popularity. The great thing about this for our international participants and students is that it saves the shipping cost. And the shipping cost to countries abroad is about four times the cost of a book.
Yeah.
So that has definitely inhibited the international distribution, and I'm so looking forward to the expansion that we will experience in the next year. So let's stay in touch on that subject. And thank you, Catherine. I really appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
And we have a caller from area code 856. You're on.
Hi, this is Eva.
Oh, hi, Eva.
Hi.
Nice to speak with you.
Yes. Nice to speak with you, too. I'm mostly on the calls, but I just listen. But what I wanted to say about this is that the biggest noticeable difference in my life in receiving the blessings, first of all, from you, and then in going to the last seminar and learning how to do the blessings also, is the release of fear. And it has been just the greatest blessing of my life, because I have noticed for years now that the biggest problem was fear in my life. And I would say sometimes I just seem to have had mountains of fear. And I realize now, if people are not, maybe a lot of the people on the call are familiar with cellular memory, but I have become aware for quite a long time now of cellular memory. And because of the fact that my father died before I was born, when my mother was pregnant with me, and it was sudden, and it was a very difficult time for her, and she was there on a farm with 10 kids and expecting me.
Oh,
and the family was separated, and there was a lot of emotion around that time. And, of course, for many years, I didn't understand that I had absorbed much of this trauma into my little body through her.
Yes.
And from learning how to deal with that and learning what was actually happening with me was helpful. But the biggest help was when I was receiving the blessings. And I just really want to thank you. And so I just want to encourage people. And the other thing is that I don't feel a lot of the things that some people say they feel when they are doing the blessing or receiving the blessing, but I definitely know that something is happening, and it's at a very subtle level that I keep experiencing changes within me. So I just wanted to share that and thought it might be encouraging to some other people about, you know, doing the blessing and not being afraid. I too was very afraid of, like the lady that just called, doing something wrong. That was one of the biggest things in my life, always afraid of doing something wrong. And I am...
Exactly. You're mostly stopped by that.
Yes. And so it's just like, yes, this is
so
right.
Much, Eva. What,
definitely...
That's an important contribution on so many levels because, well, first of all, I want to say that if I heard you speak today... and I heard a recording of you speaking when I first met you, which was, I think, about 6 years ago. I would not say it was the same person.
Yeah.
Today, your voice has conviction, strength, joy, a kind of assertiveness, not in an aggressive way, but simply in a sense of presenting yourself with all the glory of who you are. You speak from the inside out. And when I met you before, you were very conditioned from the outside in. And that's one of the characteristics of a person who has absorbed or experienced too much fear, because they are very conditioned from the outside in. And as you overcome these conditions of fear, and I want to use your example as a perfect example of one of the characteristics of fear I mentioned last time, which was atmosphere, but not spelled S-T-H-E-R-E, but atmos, F-E-A-R. Now, you were born into an environment of atmosphere, and you absorbed it on a deeply unconscious level, as well as patternings that you had to observe from your siblings and your mother. And today we're living in a world with tremendous atmosphere, where fear is a very broad-scale contagion, something we need to be more careful of than the common cold and the flu, which we take lots of precautions to avoid. But there's nothing that will damage our vitality more than fear. And there's a lot of it in a contagious state in the world today. It's causing people to see, project, and express a lot of goofy opinions and goofy disinformation. And that brings us to one of the other definitions of fear, is false evidence appearing real. And there's so much of that, not just in the conventional press, but you would, we thought at first, oh, now we've got the equivalent of a free press on the internet. Well, there's as much disinformation there as there is in the controlled press. It's just disinformation for different reasons. In the controlled press, it's generally disinformation for, controlling, manipulative reasons. On the, free press, it's usually just ignorance and lack of information and an urgency to spread some contagion of fear that has crept up among a particular group of people. And so we really see a lot of this today. And whatever the source of fear for you, it always is from the outside in, even legitimate fear. You're taking a walk in the woods, you see a grizzly 20 feet away, you get signals that your senses respond to, your first action is to stop. And probably that's your best action, period, is to just stay stopped, because a grizzly can outrun you and it can outfight you. But if you stay stopped and you just remain stopped, if it's not hungry and if it's not threatened, it'll just turn and walk away. And so stopping is a very big part of fear. It's something frequently not discussed because most of the time fear is referred to as a flight or fight reaction. Most of us, though, are frozen in fear. And this is why we're not taking action. And that's really something I want to talk to you about. How do we take action? Because if fear is causing us to stop and we don't think it's wise or within our integrity to fight or flee, then what do we do? What is our alternative action? Well, I'm going to take we've got two more calls here, and I do want to take these two calls, but I want to finish my comment, okay, because we've actually got time for me to finish my comment and take a couple more, maybe even three more calls. So stay on the line if you've pressed your five star. But I want to talk about how we get around this fear. This is the answer to that is actually written in the chapter of Love Without End called Pathways to Success. And there's four answers. First is just be the love that you are, because love will give you answers that you really, really cannot determine externally. It will give you those internal answers. And the second really, really important thing is follow life in the living. Now, that's where I want to magnify the answer right now. You can go read some of the other answers are like, you know, forgive. Okay, read the chapter. You'll get the whole picture. But that follow the life in the living is what I want to talk about, because that's what we stop doing when we're frightened. Actually, when we're frightened, we freeze. And if you notice, and this has actually been determined by putting people on electrocardiograms and other instruments that measure body performance, body chemistry, body reactions. And what happens is that when we're in fear, every cell of our body contracts. We don't relax. We contract because we're preparing to be like a spring that's coiled up that can lunge forward if necessary, or spring back if necessary, or fight if necessary. And so we're in an intense state of compression. And the one thing we're not doing is naturally flowing. Just flowing. So I want to talk about an energy of life, which is a form of life consciousness that I'm actually developing a course for. We're going to be doing this as an online telecourse in August. It depends on how, I probably need to rest for a couple of weeks after our seminar. It will probably start about the second week in August and go till about the second week in September, I suspect. So look for more information about this. But what it's not just what I'm discovering. It's also what Yeshua has taught me and what is being actively researched in so many levels of advanced cellular biology and cellular genome studies. And that is that there seems to be a frequency of consciousness that is unique to all living things. And when that frequency of consciousness is breached, the thing dies. One of the things they're studying is the embryos, not human embryos, but just embryos of little mice and rats. They will do an artificial insemination in a laboratory and test it on different frequencies of energy. And they're isolating a frequency of energy that is so nurturing of life that that embryo will take hold and grow. Without that energy, it doesn't grow. They're applying it to plants in the presence and actually exploring this as an addition, an amplification to hydroponic agriculture. And personally, I think this is a far more advanced concept than some of the other research on, food production that is so-called advanced, but it really is not. It's potentially lethal because of too much manipulation of the genomes, and that is some of our genetically engineered plants. We don't know what these genes will do in our body because it's not the food that our body evolved eating. But they are one of the more advanced forms of research is this frequency of life energy. So far it's not been named, but all of the frequencies of consciousness to this point have been given a letter of the Greek alphabet. So I'm just selecting and electing. Maybe somebody else will agree and it'll become official. The letter L for life, which is lambda. So I'm just calling it the energy, the frequency of lambda, which is a life consciousness. And I really believe this is what constitutes the fact of some people having green thumbs, the so-called proverbial green thumb, and some people not. I've noticed some people have a sense for this, and it's something I apparently was born with. I just have always been good, really, really, really good at growing anything. My name should have been Emerald instead of Green. My thumb is that green. I can buy a little 4-inch pot plant in the grocery store, and 3 years later, it will be outgrowing our 12-foot ceiling. It looks like we live in an arboretum here, and all I have to do is just talk to the plants and love them. But apparently, I'm exuding that. When I was young, I made the money for my college education breeding cats and then horses. Show horses, and it didn't matter what stock I began with. They would wind up winning national futurities. It's a gift I had when I began painting portraits. I went from my first portrait to my third portrait being referred to top executives and heads of state by Thomas Hoving, the director of the Metropolitan Museum in New York City, as being the portraitist he would commission if he were having his portrait painted. And they would, and he said in the letter, I've never seen an artist who can portray life the way she can portray life. Well, what is this frequency? It's obviously something I was born with. And it's probably has something to do with the work I was called to do with Yeshua and why he chose me. And part of what I'm teaching all of you in the blessing, one of the things that I have learned, many, many things I have learned about this frequency of life is that it's indelibly connected to light and to those parts of our body that absorb light, hold light, and transmit light. And, of course, this is what probably one of the reasons plants love me, because they live on light. It's essential to their survival. Well, actually, it's essential to all of our survival, but each species uses light in a different way. Now, we cover all of this, all the details of this in our blessing course, but for purposes right now, I just want to talk about how following life in the living is what gets you around the fear that stops you, because life is always in movement. It always flows. You could almost compare it to water. It's not exactly the same thing as water, but my goodness, I mean, water is essential to life. It's the medium of exchange of all life. It's what makes our planet so gorgeous. And is indigenous to the character of our planet, our whole Earth, and all of the life forms that live and breathe on our Earth. Now, how does water? Well, you can't stop water. Actually, you could try to dam up a stream, but eventually the water will build up on the other side, and it'll either flow over the dam, or it'll run around the dam, or it'll push down the rocks that you built that little dam with. It all depends upon the configuration of the structures around it. But the fact is, the water will keep flowing. Now, this is true with your life. And when you focus upon what's flowing for you and what's working for you, what is life in the living, it will move around all these thoughts. And my advice is to take your attention off of all the things that are stopping you and put your attention on the things that are working for you. Put your attention on things that are flowing for you, because the things that are flowing for you are living. They're part of this life energy. They're part of what's moving from the heavens to the earth through you and all around you and moving you into new configurations. This is one of the things that I'm studying with my painting, and I'm bringing a new painting to the seminar to exactly talk about this subject. I have always loved the Impressionists, and I know this is what the Impressionists were looking for. They were looking for this energy of life that is so radiant. One day I had the opportunity to go to the greatest exhibition of French Impressionism ever to come to the United States. It was at the Metropolitan Museum. And I was walking I took a bus a little ways, and then I walked about five blocks up to the museum. By the time I got there, I think I was levitating. I don't think I touched the pavement. And when I entered the museum, it's like I went into another world. This life energy was almost as rich as if I was floating down the Amazon River and picking up all of the oxygen and the life that was being exuded by all of this natural flora and fauna of this virgin land. Well, when we follow life in the living, it has a way of deprioritizing the things we're afraid of. Fear becomes so minimal that we just move around it. Fear becomes that little rock that the water moves around and over or pushes aside and just keeps flowing. And so I wanted to give you that remedy so that you don't have to think about, you see, sometimes, last time I gave you a question about what would you do if you had no fear, I may have left you thinking too much. I don't want to leave you thinking about it. I want to leave you living and living through it, focusing upon the energy that carries you around those things that you don't have to think about. You just say, oh, well, this is what I would do if I were not afraid. And all of a sudden, you start doing it. You would just do it. You would call a friend, get in the car, do this, do that, be this way, be that way, and you're in it. And the fear at that point becomes like a pebble in your path. It used to look like a mountain and now it's a pebble. And that's really the way you deal with fear, is you just get on with life. Follow life in the living. I really suggest that you read that chapter. Well, I did talk a long time, but I've got somebody that's been waiting. Kathy, I see you've been waiting a long time. If you have a quick question, we'll take it.
I just have a comment that one way to really move through the fear is if you have any thoughts of going at all to the Blessing Conference, but you think that you're not prepared or ready or worthy, go, because that's one of the great ways of moving through your fear is just, as you said, doing. And so that conference is a wonderful confidence booster when it comes to fear.
And can you remember what it was like at the end when we all gave the blessing together?
Mm-hmm.
It was like there was nothing in the world to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm. It's like that every Sunday.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for that comment. And, Darlene, I'm going to open up your line very quickly because I don't want to have told you you could talk and then not let you.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me? Glenda, I just want to say something to everyone who's thinking about coming to the seminar. Prior to my coming to the seminar, I was laden with fear. It was crippling, the fear and the doubt that I was living with for years, well over 30, 35 years of it. And after reading your book and making that decision, and even then I was fearful, but I had expectation of breaking through and getting through that fear. And after the seminar, learning the protocol, doing the protocol, coming home and learning, and if you recall, Glenda, I had approached you at the seminar about, I might forget how to do this. And you said to me, it's already in you. It's innate in you. What you will be thinking and praying while you are doing this protocol. And you were right. Although you sent me a wonderful outline to just help me remember how to do it, you didn't give it to me specifically, but it did come, and I am doing the blessing innately. It's just coming natural to me, and my fear is gone. My doubt about what I'm doing, what this blessing is doing for the world, there is no more doubt. I haven't had a panic attack since, and I had them most of my life. They're non-existent in my life. The doubt is gone. So I want to encourage anybody who's struggling with fear, doubt, panic, anything that's crippling you, go to the seminar. It will help you survive that, get through it, and get beyond it. So I just wanted to share that, Glenda.
Thank you so much, darling.
That's been a great truth for me.
Oh, and you know, that really says it all, because in relation to what I was saying as the antidote to fear is life. Life itself is the antidote to fear. And there is so much life, and the secrets of life, and the protocols for sustaining life, body, heart, and soul, are so fully revealed in that seminar that fear doesn't have a chance anymore.
Exactly.
It just doesn't have a chance. And
it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm the one who bullies the fear now. It doesn't bully me. It doesn't hold me down and oppress me. It doesn't have the strength it used to.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for saying that, Darlene. I am so delighted. And just to see that gain from you, I mean, the whole seminar was worth it. But it's not just Darlene, it's everybody who went. Everybody. It was an amazing occasion. And we have one more caller now. We've got to be real quick. But this is area code 914.
Yes, can you hear me, Glenda?
I can.
Here's the question. chemicalization. That was a term that was raised at our Unity meeting last week when the woman said that she was very ebullient about everything going well, wonderful ideas, meetings, conversations, and then it all stopped. People don't return her phone calls. They don't answer her letters or proposals. And this is happening to me. I would love to find a way to stop it so that people will accept my proposals and say, that's a great idea. Let's do it.
What are your proposals?
I have many proposals
We obviously don't have time to hear the details, and I shouldn't have asked that question.
Yes.
But I would presume your proposals are all very proactive.
Yes.
They're something you're very enthusiastic about, and you're just not getting a response.
And then it comes to a dead end.
Okay. Well, see, what's happening is this atmosphere that people are stopped. I don't think any of you have the slightest idea how frozen people are. Actually, we're still living in the most prosperous country in the world. Despite our debt, despite all our problems, despite all our conflicts and issues, but the prosperity is not being exchanged because people are frozen. We are still, always, God's universe is abundant. It is so full of richness. But what's happening is people are not exchanging because they're frozen. People are not listening to one another because they're frozen. They're afraid that even if they hear a good idea, they'll have to then they'll feel guilty for not responding. So they don't even want to hear a good idea because they're not wanting to do anything. So the answer is, well, if you're coming to the seminar, you'll find the answer. If you're not coming to the seminar, read Yeshua's chapter in Love Without End about the four pathways to success. You must generate more life in what you're doing. It's not enough to have a good idea. The life has to be behind it. It's life that will push through all of their fear, all of their frozenness. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And now we need to convey this life, this powerful life energy, through you by doing the blessing. So if we have anyone new on the call, please remove your shoes and socks. Be in a seated position. The reason for that is so that we can utilize the flow of gravity through our spine down to the base of your spine. Then relax your legs and allow your feet to draw up energy from the earth. I want you to just relax your mind. Remember, your mind does not have the answers. Your heart, your soul, and God, and the Holy Spirit, the cosmos, and Mother Earth, they're the ones that are going to supply the answers, not your mind. Your mind has the questions. But what we want right now are the answers, and the answers come from the source of life, the source of life. We want life to pour through you, abundantly and richly through you. So just be in your heart and pray your prayer. I will pray to Yeshua, who was the giver of the blessing. He conducts the Holy Spirit through you, and he allows me to be your grounding wire so that there is a human conduit who is anchored to the earth as he passes this precious, holy, and powerful living energy through you. And as Eva said, sometimes it's subtle because our physical senses don't always pick up what's happening. This is at such a very, very high level. Just allow yourself to be. That's all I ask. Just allow yourself to be and receive and be anointed with life. The conduction of energy will take about 3 minutes, and then without any further thinking or speaking from me, I want you to go lie down and assimilate for 7 minutes. Let it fill every cell of your body. Let it fill the aura around your body. Allow it to connect you with the earth and the energy. And if you fall asleep, that's okay. You will wake up refreshed. And so I will say my goodbyes to you now and wish you my love for this week. And remember, next week you're going to receive a very, very powerful blessing from all of our new blessing givers. So 5:30 Pacific Daylight Time next week. So now just relax, be in your heart, pray your prayer, whatever it may be. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, the one who has taught us that as we follow life in the living, our life reveals the answers and our pathway becomes the perfect question. Not always is it the answer we're looking for, but it is the right question we're looking for. And that requires being focused upon life and disengaging from the things that stop us, the things that halt us, that invalidate us, that make us wrong. We thank you for being here to find everything within us that is so right with ourselves, so right with the earth, so right with our Creator, so right with all the potential that is around us, waiting to be unfolded by our living presence. We thank you that all we need to do is embrace life in the living. We don't have to have the answers. We simply have to have the faith, the courage, the heart, and the love for all of this confidence you have given us, for the nurturing and the guidance. We thank you. Amen. The energy conveyance is complete. Now go and rest, assimilate, and be with God. Bye-bye for now.